never rests.
What's up? It's the Georgia Show here on Hogs HQ channel. Appreciate you tuning in on your Thursday morning. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jake Rowe. We do this show, I don't know, a couple times a week, whatever. We're sponsored and presented to you by our friends at American Pride Bank. Guys, if you're looking for some local solutions for your banking needs, American Pride Bank, the bank to go with. You're talking to decision makers at every level, whether you're looking for a small business loan, personal loans, personal banking. They are the people that make the calls, and they make them on the ground level. So you talk to people who make the call at every turn. We encourage you to reach out to them for all of your banking needs, whatever they may be. They are an equal opportunity lender and member FDIC. So go check out AmericanPride.bank today for your banking services. Lot to get to today, Jake, as usual. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we will be off on Sunday, I'm assuming, for the Georgia show. We will come to you probably early next week at some point because it is a it will be a big official visit weekend, but I'm assuming Sunday will be off as we enjoy the festivities with our families. And but Georgia not resting because it is Memorial Day weekend, at least not in the lead up to. The coaches are out and hitting the road, seeing some top targets when it comes to the recruiting class of 2026. And we have some names to discuss today in that regard.
Yeah. Here's the thing about this recruiting thing on the road. There's one thing I got to get off my chest here. There's this Stacy Searles has been to Hawaii a couple times here lately. And the O-line was bad last year. I'm not trying to stand up for Stacy Searles, say he's the best offensive line coach in America. But there's this narrative that this man's headed out to Hawaii and he's having a great time. You know how much time it takes to fly to and from Hawaii? Roughly 20 hours. Stacy Searles is 6 foot six and 60 years old. That's 20 hours for one trip to Hawaii and back on a plane. That's probably another 4 hours in an airport. The man's spending a whole day of his life in terms of hours traveling for one trip to and from Hawaii with a 1 day turnaround. He can't be there more than 24 hours. I mean, I guess if he wanted to like hang out in Hawaii for a few days, he could, but he's not doing that because he's usually right back on the road, you know, a day, maybe 2 days later. He's out there seeing Malachi Lee. Listen, what you should be taking from that. And I'm not trying to say you should, you know, I'm not trying to say you should have an opinion one way or the other, but what you should be taking from that is that Georgia's putting forth that effort to go get that kid because they like him that much. And B, they think that there's enough there between the two to keep it rolling that way. So I do want to get that one. You know, Georgia's pushing all the way from the Atlantic coast into the Pacific Islands, essentially over in, you know, I know the Hawaii is not technically that, but all the way out to you know, Honolulu. So they're certainly trying to make the most of these last few days of what this you know, evaluation period is.
Hey, if there was a kid in Guam, they'd go get him, I'm sure. Look,
the island might tip over, though. You know, if the kid's big enough, that island might tip over. So
sure.
Is that not an all-timer? Is that not like an all-time, like, you know, I mean, I don't care where you stand on the political spectrum. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yo,
oh, my God. There was a congressman. I can't even remember who it was. They were talking about this is totally off topic. But there was a congressman of several years back, maybe a congresswoman. I can't remember who it was. But they were talking about doing building a base, like a very large base, military base over in Guam. And somebody literally said on the House floor or wherever it was, are we not concerned about the island capsizing?
And they were serious.
Yes, it was not satire. This was while serious business. Well, that's debatable. The seriousness of the business can be debated at this point, sure. But it was somebody who should have known better than to even say such a thing in such a setting. But yes, it was 100% serious. We You should go look that up when you get off of this show.
What I'll tell you about it, Jake, in my estimation, is this. If a person could tip an island over, it may be Malachi Lee. 6'7", 310 pounds. Shout out to my man, Coach Rail, where your neck at? My personal favorite commenter on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. Malachi Lee, look, I agree with you, Jake. If they're going to put the resources into going out to get the kid, it does feel that that's the case. Feels like some of the schools that are heavily in the running for this are maybe not the traditional schools you would see with a Hawaiian player as well. I believe we've seen some mentions of Michigan along the way and et cetera and so forth. So it's not just USC. It's not just Oregon. You know, there's some varying thoughts, schools of thought out there as to where this kid could end up. And you've got to think, right? There was a pretty decent chunk of money that was going to be able to be devoted to Jackson Cantwell. That's freed up now. And Georgia now has the opportunity to reroute those NIL funds somewhere else. This would be an incredible target to do that with. Kid looks like, your standard starting left tackle, man. I mean, he has the measurables. He has the size. The one thing that has to concern you, I believe, is that Georgia – and this is not just a Georgia-specific problem, although I guess Tennessee and Alabama have made some headway in this. Hawaii has not necessarily been a place that's been very kind to them, and I understand that. Typically, what we've seen over the years is that the island kids tend to stick together, and they seem to go where there are additional people from where they're from. And so if there's one hesitation for me, it's probably that when it comes to this recruitment. But you've got a chance to open up a pipeline there if you do get a kid like this. And, it's definitely worth the effort. The guy, I believe Rusty said at one point that the kid has some of the longest arms that Georgia's ever measured.
Maybe the, right up there with possibly the longest
right.
that Georgia's had since Kirby Smart's been there.
Yeah,
which is that's a big tool. My bigger concern would be, and I guess it kind of falls in under the same umbrella as all small private school, small school quarterbacks or small school prospects in general. Is I don't think the big fellas from Hawaii have absolutely been a resounding success necessarily. Hira Kanu, I think he came from out that way. It's hard to remember actually who is actually from Hawaii because you hear the names, the names right. like Hira Kanu and DJ Uiagalelei and some like that. And some of those guys are from Southern California. Some of them are actually from Hawaii. Was Tua actually from Hawaii or was he from California?
I believe he started in Hawaii.
Yeah. So, But either way, I think we all understand that it's not the state of Georgia. It's not the state of California, Texas, even the state of Ohio, obviously not Florida in terms of the talent you play up against. But when you're looking for those traits and you're looking for a giant human being that you can kind of coach up and get there, I mean, Malachi Lee is a high quality blank canvas.
Absolutely. And a lot of these guys have gone on to great success, right? Peony Sewell, you've got Kingsley Sumai Tayata, I believe was how you say his name.
Tua is actually from Honolulu, just straight up from Honolulu too. So yeah, that's there. I'm going to keep looking up these guys and see who is actually from Hawaii.
Well, Sewell, they were from Utah. I went out and actually saw Noah Sewell when he was in high school, but this is one of those situations. If that's the hesitation, I get it. But overall, the kid is worth the pursuit. And like I said, if you're wondering about how can we make this happen? Well, like I said, you freed up a bunch of money with the Jackson Cantwell recruitment that suddenly can be repurposed. And a guy like this would be a great place to spend it. In my opinion, Georgia does need probably a true tackle in this class. They went pretty heavily with guys that they feel could be interior guys last year. Although Juan Gaston looks like he's probably going to play tackle. Dennis Uzuchukwu was another guy that they brought in for that purpose as well. The previous class was like, what, probably four tackles, I think, four projected tackles with those seven guys that they brought in. Ultimately, you hope that that was the case. But it's been a minute. I'll say this. It's been a minute since they brought in a guy that was probably considered like one of the top tackles in the country. Even Juan Gaston was considered an interior lineman based on what service you looked at.
Georgia, per the Jake Rowe opinion service, I would have considered him a you know, hey, you stood beside me. We talked about Juan Gaston. I'm not afraid to put that opinion out there. We sat there and talked about Juan Gaston at camp, and I was totally unimpressed. But he's one of those dudes, you put the pads on him, you put a face mask on him, all of a sudden he starts putting his hat on people, and yeah, okay, you're different. You know, you're roughing some people up. So, but yeah, I mean, you're right. Even though he was, what did he end up like, the 65th or something ranked prospect in the country? He ended up being a top 75 guy, but the services had him listed as an interior lineman. Another thing I'll point to with that, Jake, two of the most effective offensive tackles that Georgia has had under Kirby Smart were pigeonholed as guards.
Sure.
And that's Isaiah Wynn and Jamari Sawyer. You know, Doc Scrange is a guy, you know, I don't even know if Doc watches our pod, but Doc's been a member at every website. I wouldn't know him if I saw him, but he's been a member at every website I've ever worked at. He loves ball, and he has some incredible insights. But one of his things is you got to have those elite can't miss tackles, because those guys are kind of – and I always push back on that, because I'm like, man, Georgia won the 2021 national championship with Jamari Sawyer playing left tackle, a sixth round offensive guard playing.
Right.
And oh, by the way, Warren McClendon was playing the other tackle position. Okay. So now did they come back the very next year and win one with Broderick Jones at left tackle and Amarius Mims rotating in at right tackle? Sure. That's, I'm not saying it's a weakness to have those guys, but you just got to have good players who play good, high quality football at those positions. And you know, sometimes it's going to be that guy with all the traits to be a special player at the next level. But I'll tell you this, Georgia got more out of Jamari Sawyer at tackle than they got out of Amarius Mims at tackle.
No doubt about it. And really, I feel like we're moving into a time here, and this happened when I first started, and then probably, I guess, 5 to 6 years in. When I first started, there was strong side DN and weak side DN. And now we just call that edge. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the line between...
I miss those days too, by the way.
Sure. But I feel like the OT IOL rankings are slimming down each and every year. There are very few guys that you can kind of pigeonhole into one or the other, at least in the usage at the collegiate level. Because guys, like you said, like Sawyer, for example, goes to the league and is drafted as a guard. But for the purposes of college football, he was a totally more than serviceable offensive tackle. And so it doesn't necessarily define a guy, I guess, for the purposes of trying to project him to beyond college, you should look at it from that perspective. But there are a lot of guys who fashion as guards at the next level who can play tackle quite well. And there's a lot of guys who play tackle at this level who, you know, can probably develop into, or who could play guard at the next level as well. So, I mean,
I guess both ways, right? one of the things we're running into here is Kirby's starting to be at Georgia long enough that you can pull up an example of just about everything that fans have said. They're not getting it right. They're not doing it right. And whether they come back and acknowledge that or not later, they were wrong. And right. I'm not saying that Kirby hasn't been wrong too. Georgia has. It's just been a lot less than the fans have. You know, I mean, it's right. I remember when Jamari Sawyer was coming back and everybody was like, well, we're not going to go anywhere unless we can get Broderick Jones ready to play left tackle, because Jamari Sawyer should be playing on the interior. And I was like, guys, I just don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think Jamari Sawyer showed you last year that he can handle it playing left tackle. Right. This was 2020 to 2021. Jamari Sawyer has shown you that he can handle that position. They'll play him there if they feel like he's the best guy. No. Right around the same time, we're talking about the fact that, you know, Stetson Bennett doesn't need to be part of the program either. And, you know, a lot of things change like that, man. They really do. You go out, you get really good football players. Some guys, there's some natural aptitude that comes with playing that position. It's more than just arm length and athleticism to mirror and strength and all of this stuff. There's a mentality. There's stuff that goes beyond physical traits, and so that's, you know, that's what we're dealing with there. And man, Dylan Brooks just got us, bro. He got us. About to make a sequel to Chips. Who's Eric Estrada? Can I be Eric Estrada? I am the more tan of us two, I believe.
No question about that.
Yeah.
You mentioned traits and measurables and da 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 da. Look. George is on the road looking at other guys. And when it comes to those, we've got some actual big-time traits. Josh Crawford out seeing Savion Hyder. You've got Todd Hartley on the road seeing Mark Bowman again. If you haven't seen what we think about Mark Bowman, let Jake Rowe know. He'll come hit you in the head with a tack hammer. I mean, it's,
I'll come sing a ballad to you about how good I think Mark Bowman is. Absolutely. I'll come see a. It's just like I don't know if anybody watches Love on the Spectrum, but one of the young ladies on there with autism who met her boyfriend sung him a princess song, and I'll come sing you a princess song about how good I think Mark Bowman is.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. So, look, Georgia making the most of these last few visits of the spring. You know, using up. So this is the second for Lee. This is the second for Hyder. This is the second for Bowman. That's the max allowable in this spring window for coaches to go do in-person visits. And Georgia making the most of that. That's swinging on three pretty big guys, big-time talents. Hyder, I think, number one running back. You've got number two, tight end in Bowman, who would be the number one in almost any world where Kendre Harrison didn't exist. And quite frankly, you could probably challenge him for that spot by the time things are
all over. We'll challenge him. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And then you got Malachi Lee, who's a top 100 guy.
That one is going to come down to, by the way, I was thinking about this yesterday. That's going to come down to who has the strongest case of senioritis. You know, it's going to come down to kind of who kind of, you know, because, you know, it happens so many times. Like, I think it happened a little bit with C.J. Wiley this past year, where he had just a bananas junior season, and he wasn't as dominant as a senior as he was as a junior. It happens to so many guys. Do any of them kind of take that step back? You know, because the thing with Harrison is I'm a huge fan of his too. He's also a two-sport athlete and kind of got all that stuff going on too. So this class is this is the freakiest, most loaded tight end class I think I've ever seen.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, there's the Brock Harris.
Brock Harris,
Also Caden Prothrow, you know, here in the state of Georgia. Keys. Yeah, Lincoln Keys. I mean, it is absolutely stocked with elite tight ends.
Is the Ludwig kid? He's a tight end, right?
Matt
Ludwig.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you've got, what, like 8 or 10 tight ends in this class. It's ridiculous. By the way, if you've been watching this show and you've been complaining about the sound on my mic, we are working to fix that. I just want to let you know. You talk to people, comment and say, better never rest. We're not resting here at Dogs HQ when it comes to premium sound quality.
Yeah, but listen, if you're making those comments and if you don't learn how to be more respectful, I'm going to fight you. Okay, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to fight you for speaking upon this show and Jake Roos poorly. Jake gets on my case all the time on our board, just making fun of me for not being nice enough to him. I'm going to come to his defense here. It's not his fault. It's the microwave. He got a new microwave. It's messing with the airwaves over there. We're trying to get it fixed.
Putting out the radiation.
Yeah, yeah. It's the science oven's giving us some problems. all right. Hey, but listen, these visits that George is going through right now, they're not just like, hey, let's just go out here and make sure we're spending our time. They're trying to set up
right
what's coming. And what's coming is Georgia has nothing going on Memorial Day weekend. I think some schools are doing stuff, but Georgia's not. And, man, then it's 4 straight weeks, Jake, of camps and official visits. And that's kind of what we're getting ready for here. And there's a run coming. I don't know if it's a run of commitments, but there's a run of news coming that we're really excited about because we're about to have our work cut out for us as opposed to having to hunt it down. I tell people that all the time, that people say, well, hey, January and February roll around. Oh man, it must be a slow time of year for you. No, actually, I hate it because I work harder in January and February to figure out what to write because the beast must be fed. You know, we want to provide our people with content. I'd much rather be in those times of years where I have a tough time getting to all of the things I need to get to, as opposed to trying to figure out, hey, how am I going to get a couple of stories out today and keep our readers served. So We're about to enter a wild, wild 4 weeks of just news, news, and more news.
Absolutely. And I mean, the thing about it is I said this on Sunday during the show. I repeated it on the board this week. The official visits will be crucial. You will definitely have guys that this matters a lot for. But for me, the exciting part of what's coming this next month is the camps, because this is where you start unearthing some of the diamonds in the class. And we talked about Uzichukwu earlier in the show. He was a guy they found last year. Yeah, Chase Linton was a guy that they found through the camp circuit last year. This is kind of where those guys begin to emerge. And you will have guys in this that end up on this commit list that end up being really good players. Georgia trusts its in-person evaluations as much as it trusts anything, more than it trusts any recruiting service out there. And I don't say that as any knock to our recruiting service. I think they do a fine job over there. But I do think that Georgia values putting eyes on guys as much as any staff out there. And so I'm really excited for that part of it, because there are new names that are about to emerge that we have not talked about, that we have not thought about, guys that are dying to get a Georgia offer and will end up in this class as a result of that. And for me, that's exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's a lot of fun. Would you be as excited about camp season, though, if you had to cover them still? No, you wouldn't.
No, I would not.
Yeah, when you're out there, when you've been out there since 9:30 a.m. and you're just trying to limp to the finish and get to the final of the 7-on-7 that's at the end of a camp, boy,
it's 95 degrees. Like,
hey, let me tell you, who else wasn't used not to be excited about that stuff? My man Kevin Scherer. I spent a lot of time with my buddy Kevin Scherer out at those events. Back when we used to cover him his first and second year at Georgia. And, you know, I'll always remember an act of kindness that he afforded. I think it was to both of us one time. It was when Elijah Holyfield was getting recruited, and he was just like, hey, y'all go over there and have just send us over to the table to drink what the recruits were drinking. He's like, y'all need to get something to drink, man. Y'all look awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, those coaches don't love it either. They're out there with hurting backs and hamstrings that are bothering them as well. So,
but great evaluation period. And like I said, you will find new names through this, and it's exciting. And in the world of NIL, it is very crucial. Speaking of money, if you're trying to save a little, get over to sunheist.com, use code 820, 20% off of your purchase over at sunheist.com. Great friends of ours, Shane and Mary Heist, do a fantastic job at making a high quality product for a reasonable price. They've got a ton of styles, a ton of options. And whether you're looking for something to go out hiking, you're looking for something to go out and hit the field, maybe play some softball with your friends this summer, you're going to go hit the lake for a long weekend on the pontoon. Memorial Day weekend, man, you're going to need some good shades. Get with Sunheist. Get with them. Use our code DOGSHQ20 for 20% off. Lightweight, great fit. They got styles for the big heads like me and you, Jake Rowe. They've got a lifetime warranty on the frames, injected polarization on the lenses, free shipping on orders over $65, free returns. Try it on. If you don't like it, send it back. They'll take care of you in a quick way either way. But my thought is you're going to quite enjoy the product because they just, like I said, man, they disappear on the face. Those cottonwoods doing me real nice these days. So get over to sunheist.com.
The customer service is unmatched. The customer service and warranty are unmatched.
I can't believe how fast they can ship. It's unbelievable to me. Yeah. DOGSHQ20, your code at sunheist.com.
Baseball, bro. I know you're what you live, eat, sleep, and breathe. I can't get you to shut up about it. You hit me up about baseball every single day. Yesterday, Georgia announced, hey, listen, this is, you know, for I know we joke around about this sometimes about baseball and how big of a fan you are. And nobody will ever really understand how much you love baseball. But listen, locking Wes Johnson down here, Jay Groos, is a big, big deal. Mississippi State apparently made some overtures, or Wes Johnson's agent made Georgia think he was anyway. They've locked him up through 2031. Financials have not yet been found. I'm waiting on the open records request. Maybe it'll come through here any moment and we can go dun, 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 and do live news, you know, breaking news or whatever. But you know, as somebody who doesn't cover that beat necessarily, who doesn't write baseball stories, who's not watching every single Georgia baseball game, even I think you understand how big of a deal this is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look, I mean, my thing was, even when the rumors came up that Mississippi State was going to get involved with Wes Johnson, I said Georgia right now is basically in a position to establish themselves as being serious about baseball or not. Because if you let this guy walk, then that really indicates based on the things that he's built, the things that he's done in his tenure already, if you let him walk, then you're settling for second tier status.
It feels like if you let that happen, it feels like if you've been around Georgia sports for long enough, it would have felt like Tubby Smith. It would have felt like letting Tubby Smith walk back in the 90s. You know, I remember when Georgia had Tubby Smith and he got him to the NCAA tournament. And I remember the late Paul Daniel, who was my high school principal and mentor and one of the best dudes I've ever known and a member over at Dogs HQ. He passed away here earlier this year. I remember him saying, yeah, but I think Georgia's just keeping the seat warm for Tubby until you know, Kentucky comes calling. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Right. And so there was some thought, and I'm not saying it was as prevalent as that, but there was some thought that, hey, Georgia's just kind of keeping Wes Johnson on the treadmill here until a bigger school comes calling or till a more rich tradition comes calling. And it doesn't get much richer than Mississippi State. I think Wes has probably got more ties to Arkansas, but Mississippi State has put out some dudes, and they love it down there. There's no, you know, that's Braves country too. It's just nowhere near as close to the Braves as Georgia baseball is. There's nothing else really professional to compete with that. You know, and there's not a professional program in Louisiana. That's baseball. And in Starkville, Mississippi, even at Ole Miss, it's pretty big. So to keep him away from those, you know, maroon bizarro Bulldogs, as some people like to call them, that's just massive, man. And I'm really interested to see the financials. Like, how much was the commitment? What did they do?
Well, I mean, it's what, 1 year? I mean, it was really only a 1 year extension on the contract, so it had to be a big come
which
up
means the increased compensation was the kicker.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. This is, yeah, I think we're about to see that number kind of skyrocket for Wes Johnson. And like I said, man, kudos to Josh Brooks, because it would have sent that message, like you said, that they were just kind of, we're a resume builder, we're a stepping stone. No, Georgia baseball going into that realm, it appears, and at least making the commitment, it appears, to really taking another step forward with this program. I spoke to somebody yesterday that had a chance to go down for Coach's Clinic, and he said, I got a chance to go in that. He said, man, that pitching lab that they've got there. He said,
oh, yeah.
He said that. He said, dude, that thing is unbelievable. He said, it's clear that, you know, they're going in on this program, and kudos to him for it, man. I mean, the baseball in the SEC has gotten just as strong as about anything. It's been strong for a long, long time, right? But Georgia, not historically one of those programs. They've had moments along the way. They're trying to set themselves up to be a strong contender moving forward, although they did get booted from the SEC tournament.
They did. You know, got another early exit from Hoover. Georgia never plays well there. I remember Georgia teams that used to go to College World Series going to Hoover and playing like absolute garbage. It's kind of just always been. I don't know if it's the way the park's set up. I don't know if it's because of the way I know how I feel when I've got to go to Hoover, Alabama, and it's never really that good. Tortugas has pretty good deep dish pizza. That's pretty nice.
Like that Dave Attell joke about Dayton, Ohio. You know what's a fun thing to do in Hoover, Alabama? Pack your bag and get out.
Pack your bag. I never know what you bring up Dave Attell jokes. You never know what's going to come out. You know,
no doubt. Well, that was not exactly how he told that joke, but that's a paraphrase of it.
But yeah, so early exit, the RPI went from 1 to 3, which is not troubling or anything like that. But, you know, now Auburn's got the nation's number one RPI. Vanderbilt's got the number two RPI. Funny enough, Georgia swept one of those teams on the road at home and then was swept by the other on the road. Vandy got them 3 out of 3 in Nashville. But Baseball America came out with its projected NCAA tournament bracket today and had Georgia as a number 6 seed. I feel like Georgia is comfortably in the tournament. You know, obviously year to year things change, but last year Georgia went 17-13 in the SEC, lost in the first round of the SEC baseball tournament, and they were a 7 seed. This year they went 18-12 with a higher RPI than last year. I don't think there's any concern. 97% sure Georgia's going to end up as a top 8 seed. And when you look at how Georgia played at home this year, Jake, that's massive. They're a different team at home. They won every single home SEC series they played this year. Funny enough, though, they have more road sweeps than they do home sweeps this year. I think a lot of that's got to do with how tough the teams they played at home. But they won 2 out of 3 in 4 of their 5 SEC series, and then they had the 1 sweep against Auburn, whereas they had sweeps against Florida and Missouri on the road. They also got swept two times on the road and then lost 2 of 3 to Alabama. So this is a really good baseball team, but I understand where Georgia fans are coming from. If you're like, man, why can't we put a better foot forward in Hoover for once? But I also understand where some other people are coming from, whereas this is kind of a exhibition. Like, maybe these conference tournaments mean less in baseball, far less in baseball than they do in football or sure. Even basketball.
Yeah, and I guess my only question for you, Jake, because I know you follow this a lot more closely than I do, does the performance in Hoover give you any pause about what could be ahead for this team?
No, they did the same thing last year and went out and won their regional. I love this team compared to last year and the way they hurl the ball at the plate and try to miss bats. They're much better than they were last year. This is a much better team. This team can remain competitive in games when it's not hitting. Last year's team just could not do that. I still don't think it's built to win 3-2 games like it lost yesterday, because right. They're not a complete shutdown staff. They're not going to go string together 7 scoreless for you out of the bullpen or anywhere else. They really do need to hit, but that's the big part about getting those games at home, getting it fully filled. They hit better at home, even though they were shut out in one of the games by Texas A&M. My biggest concern for Georgia baseball is when they run into good pitching, which it just gets more and more. You're going to deal with more and more of that as you go forward. They have been stifled at times by good pitching, especially left-handed pitching. And, you run into a couple of those in a regional, and you didn't meet expectations all of a sudden. You lose a couple games, and you're basically done. And that's kind of where Georgia's at. But I'm really interested to see who's in that regional. I think it really sucks that Georgia Tech seems to always be in Georgia's, or a high percentage of the time ends up being in Georgia's regional. I'd like to see some other teams, kind of poke through here and see what they've got. So I'm super excited to see how that plans out. I guess we'll know Selection Sunday. I think it'll be Selection Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it comes on Memorial Day. I can't remember. But once that field of four gets set, if you're not familiar, the winner of that 4-game regional will go on to play a super regional. If Georgia's in the top 8, it'll host that super regional, and that'll be best of 3 against the corresponding regional winner. And last year, Georgia fell in 3 games to NC State, but it was the first time they had made a super regional since 2008. And Georgia hasn't been, I don't think, to a College World Series since 2008.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah. I thought the UGA baseball historian would pick up where it left off. And what's crazy is the guy who led Georgia to its last College World Series is the head football coach at Clark Central High School. That's true.
That's true.
You don't run into that stuff very often.
No, I know. That's
shout out to Coach Perna.
Absolutely. Go Glads, man.
Yes, absolutely. No, right, no. Guys, go Jags. Go Jags.
Come on. Guys, we appreciate you tuning in. Like I said, we'll be off for Memorial Day. We'll come back to you early next week at some point, Monday, Tuesday. We'll let you know. Follow the Twitter over there, and we'll keep you up to date on that. But Sunday, we'll be off. Going to enjoy some time with the fam here on Memorial Day. Big week on tap next week, no doubt about it. Official visits coming down the pike. This one will be one to watch. A June that should shape this class in a very, very big way. We'll talk to you soon. Over and see us at Dogs HQ. Hop on the Dog Walk message board. We'll talk about it all over there. Have a great evening.